Inquirer, get your Inquirer here. Philadelphia Inquirer, Christmas Eve edition. Inquirer, get your Inquirer here. Philadelphia Inquirer.
Merry Christmas and welcome to the City of Brotherly Love, gentlemen. You've been eating two rooms tonight, I presume?
One room, sir. No more than that.
We don't have slave quarters, sir. There's no chattel here. We are a Quaker boarding house.
One room, sir. No more than that.
Surely you are aware of the freedoms afforded blacks here in...
One room, sir. No more than that. This boy will bunk with me.
Very well, sir. Understood. Right this way.
And by morning, William, we shall be chattel no more. This is the podcast of Mike Wiley Productions, Running 1,000 Miles for Freedom, the parallel lives of William and Ellen Craft.
My husband William and I were born apart. He in one county of Georgia and I in another. He was as dark and gentle as the night, while I, on the other hand, was quite the opposite in complexion. You see, my master was also my father, while my mother was a slave of African descent. Therefore, though I was still African and a slave, I was as pale as the underside of tree bark. Oh, past high yellow child, nearly white. I still remember going to market with my first mistress. Oh, now she was evil, just as evil as she could be. So the Lord saw fit to repay her sunny disposition by reminding her on occasion of her husband's infidelity. Evening, ma'am. What a pretty little girl you have. Just a spitting image of you. She ain't mine. Like the Lord give you a twin. Sometimes the Lord does that. Gives us companions, you know.
She ain't mine.
Someone to walk the world with. Tied to our body and soul. And the Lord has given you riches in that one. Those brown eyes, that golden hair. She ain't my daughter. She's my nigger. After I reached enough age to understand her hateful discontent, she had me sold. I was separated from my loved ones and all of my childhood friends. But my mistress was so cruel, I could hardly protest. Now, before I continue, allow me to dispel the myth that all slaves are Negroes. There were small amounts of indentured servants and the like, but some whites were actually stolen from their families and sold into slavery. Oh, you say, how could they enslave one of their own? Those that are cruel enough to enslave someone are cruel enough to enslave anyone. White children greased up to look dark and then sold on the auction block by impoverished parents. A German immigrant went to work on a farm in Louisiana. Along with him, he brought his two daughters to live. Soon after, the man caught the dropsy and he died. The two girls, instead of being sent back to relatives, were sold into slavery. It wasn't until 20 or so years later that just one of the daughters was recognized on the streets of New Orleans by a German woman who had arrived on the same boat as the father and the daughters. Salome Mueller! Salome Mueller! It is a long-lost Salome Mueller! Why, this orchard was lost after your father died! Eventually, there was a trial where the girl was proven to be white and set free. Her story, along with many others, only account for a small fraction of the darkest known tales of captivity and escape. soon after I met William, I came to the realization that marrying him was going to be as thrilling as it was dangerous. You see, marriage and the beautiful thoughts of family only gave way to the inevitable nightmares of separation and the auctioneer. Therefore, William and I began to cultivate plans for escape. Years passed as we pined over a safe exodus. But it might as well have been whole millenniums given our current state. You see, the plan we devised had to be flawless. For to be captured as an escaped slave was probably the most horrid evil imaginable for a Negro. First, a group of men were hired. They come with their snarling dogs, their towering horses, their guns, their knives, and always their whips. Then, the slave master lays down his law.
You bring back that no good fugitive nigger. Eyes wide open, eyes wide shut. No slave of mine is adding fuel to some abolitionist's fire. Go on. Get.
8 days before Christmas, 1848, William came to me with a positively frightful plan.
Lay your fears aside, Ellen. I will be in tandem step with you throughout the undertaking.
You want me to do what? And pretend to be a what? Oh, now you have been sipping from the jug. Well, William wasn't drunk, and his plan was completely sobering. I, Ellen Craft, was to disguise myself as a white male slave owner. Oh, have mercy. I thought he'd lost his ever-loving sense, but after some persuasion, I understood the rationale behind his madness. Armed with my complexion and William as my slave, we stood a fair to middling chance of escaping to a free state. As for disguising myself as a white man and not a woman, well, you see, a white woman would have to have a vast amount of paperwork proving that she was the sole owner of a slave. A white man only needed his signature. His signature. Neither William nor myself could read or write at the time. It was against the law to teach a Negro how to read or write. Folks went to jail for it. This revelation nearly decayed our spirits until a simple brilliance overcame us to put my right arm, whichever arm that would be, in a bandage so as to escape writing and fake illness. Over the course of the next couple of days, we gathered clothes for my costume. Some bandages for my arm, my head, and a fine traveling suit. William also cut my hair. He then taught me how to walk. And how to talk.
You make a respectable-looking gentleman. What shall we name you?
How about Johnson? Elijah. No. William Johnson.
Ooh, delightful, my dear. My good man, that is. Mr. William Johnson, traveling to Philadelphia to seek a cure for his ailments.
Our journey began with the securing of two letters from our respective masters giving us a, well, one day off for Christmas. These letters merely gave us a head start, because after being gone for more than a day, they would come looking. That fateful night, I cried, and we prayed.
Come, dearest, let us make our desperate leap toward liberty.
All aboard! Savannah bound, Georgia Central. Merry Christmas, sir. Merry Christmas. Savannah! Next stop, Savannah.
2 tickets, please. One for myself and one for my slave boy.
Where to, sir?
Savannah.
We boarded the train cautiously. My boy in his Negro car, and I with my fellow whites.
My heaven, Miranda Fitzhugh! Do you have an eye for style? Gone now. You do! That bonnet alone is divine. Truth be told, it's my Negro girl, Hattie, that's got the eye. You're telling tales now. I speak the truth. That girl's got the eye. The rest of them are as lazy as homemade sin, but Hattie's got gifted hands. Savannah! Merry Christmas, ladies. Savannah is next!
I was now a sheep in wolves' clothing in the wolf's den. I remember glancing out the window and silently praying that this would be the last time I ever saw this place. But as the clouds cleared, I saw my real master searching the crowds frantically. Had these few steps to freedom been in vain?
Helen! Helen Clare! Where you at now? William! I'm looking for 2 niggers, one high yellow and one coal black. Will Craft, where you at, boy?
He began searching the individual cars, but Fortune sounded the whistle, forcing his lead.
Alan!
Sir, we are embarking. You have to get off unless you have a ticket. Do you have a ticket?
Well, no, I'm looking for...
Then you must leave.
Next up, Savannah. As I lay back in my chair, tasting a sigh of relief, I nearly choked on it. For there, sitting beside me, was a white man that had had dinner with my master just the night before. This man had known me since my childhood and surely would see through this guise as an ailing, broken man.
Good day, sir. I said, good day, sir.
You're most extremely rude.
Another passenger told him that I must be an invalid with sad hearing and should be left in peace.
Oh, I see. Well, far be it for me to disturb the peace. Disturb the peace of a man who is broken. Did you see the peace? Broken. Broken.
Our passage to freedom crept and crawled its way up to Savannah, where my boy and I took a steamer on up to Charleston, South Carolina. As we arrived, a large hunting party stood on the dock. We waited until the last of the passengers had gotten off the boat to walk down the plank, for fear our masters had gotten wind of our plans and sent a hunting party ahead to bring us back or hang us there.
Come on off, boy! We know you're stowed! Just come on and get your lickings now. We will smoke you out like the vermin you are, boy, if you don't step out this instant. You hear me, nigger?
We soon realized that this was no hunting party of ours. Godspeed to the runaway hiding in that hold. We promptly made our way to our hotel. Charleston had been a major slave port. Therefore, many a fire and brimstone pro-slavery advocate slept in the same hotel where we boarded. This hotel was more than willing to accommodate a sad invalid and his boy. It certainly was not an uneventful experience. I dined in the company of several of my fellow southern white men.
See, now, you need to carry yourself on out to Arkansas. That's where you get some fine healing, stranger. Philadelphia, with that nigga, you carry that blackie across Mason-Dixon lines, and I guarantee you he'll cut sticks and run. And if he don't, after breathing in that vile state's air, he will be poisoned. Poisoned with the talk of freedom and emancipation. Then he'll come back down here to our good niggas and inoculate them with the hot breath. I tell you, stranger, I used to work for General Wade Hampton, doing nothing but breaking him in. Let me buy that boy off you with a handful of silver dollars. Name your price.
Meanwhile, William dined with several slaves.
Say, brother, where you come from and which side you going to with that little done-up buckra?
We headed to Philadelphia to get medicine for him.
Oh, Philadelphia, great day in the morning. I hears them say, ain't no slaves up them parts. Be freedom song all the time.
I've heard the same.
Yo, massa some big pumpkins, huh?
He'd do all right for himself.
Well, you best turn tail up there and run. Say, brother, when you gets to free dirt and you sitting under your own fig tree sipping your own wine, don't y'all forget to pray for old Pompey here.
Yes, Charleston was plenty eventful.
We planned on taking a steamer to Pennsylvania, but the boat we had arrived on the night before was the last. It also happens that a stowaway slave was indeed found aboard that boat and dragged to his fate. We, however, were forced out of necessity to take the overland mail route, a system of various steamers and trains stopping in major cities along the way. In Richmond, we met quite a plump lady who, upon seeing my boy, mistakenly recognized him as a runaway slave of hers.
Ned? Oh, bless my soul, that's my nigger Ned. Oh, my apologies. Your boy looks just like my nigger Ned. He ran away some time back. Pappy, Lord rest him, wanted to set him free, even put it in his will. But you can't have niggers running the streets without supervision. They need us as much as we need them. Poor daft thing. Well, keep an eye on yours.
I trust in his fidelity.
You foul devil. All of them.
Saturday evening, December 24th, 1848. We had reached Baltimore, the last slave port of any note. Here, they were particularly watchful to prevent slaves from escaping to the free state of Pennsylvania. My boy and I were to board another steamer here and take it right on to Philadelphia. I had already boarded the carriage that would carry me to the boat, while my boy...
Where are you going, boy? When an officer speaks to you, you answer. To Philadelphia, I see. Where's your master? What are you going there for? You better pull your master off that carriage and tell him before you go anywhere, he shall have to present papers proving his full ownership of you. No slave shall pass without my authorization, hell or high water.
This truly was a dark moment. My boy and I swallowed our hearts as we approached the constable.
You wish to speak with me, sir?
Yes. Is this your boy? I'll need his papers and your signature before he is allowed to go ahead. For if you are not who you say you are, there will be a great suffering in Baltimore today.
His words became muffled to me, and a great blackness engulfed William and I.
1,000 miles for naught. I would have commenced crying right there were it not deemed unmanly. But just as the tearful burning sensation had reached its peak, I noticed a crowd had gathered. They had begun to hiss and jeer the officer for delaying what else? A sad invalid and his boy.
Give off now!
Give the old fellow a break!
Stop harassing him!
Let him go!
It's Christmas!
Stop harassing him!
Give the old fellow a break!
Let him go!
And furthermore...
Let him go now!
And furthermore...
Let him go!
Hot! All right.
This gentleman and slave may pass.
We reached Philadelphia that evening. Christmas Eve. We arrived in the city haggard and spent as slave and master, but slept oh so peacefully that night as husband and wife. And by morning, William, we were chattel no more.
Parallel Lives is a Mike Wiley production. Voiced by Mike Wiley. Research by Micah Cater. Production by Music Juice Studios. Be sure to visit www.mikewileyproductions.com for future podcasts of Parallel Lives. Copyright 2013 by Mike Wiley Productions.
I found myself totally surrounded in your circles. Oh, my friend. Celebrate me home. Give me a number, please. Celebrate me home. Play me one more song that I'll always remember. I can recall whenever I find myself too all alone. I can sing. Traveling where the western winds can fly. Somebody tried.